Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for just knowing you and having opportunity to be in fellowship together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the direction that you give to us in our lives. And Lord, we pray this morning now as Lord, we go to your word, Lord, that you would just open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would just speak your words through me this morning, Lord, and that we as your church might receive the message that you have for us. Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 has very probably familiar verses to you in the book of Romans. Paul is writing to the Romans here. A reminder for us to consider some of these very specific details. We consider this morning one of the things that we were talking about in our announcements was a reminder of baptism, right? Reminder of what it is that means to be baptized and an opportunity to lead others to Christ. And hopefully as we consider some of those things in our lives as Christians, we recognize the opportunity that we all have in knowing Jesus Christ and knowing what it means to follow Him and salvation experience and relationship with Him, and knowing that, just as we mentioned, baptism is one of the key parts of our walk and relationship with the Lord. Obviously, Scripture tells us it's the first step of obedience once we accept Jesus Christ. And Scripture talks a lot about some of those things. But I want to just challenge your heart here, and as the Lord leads, maybe over the next few weeks, we'll look at some of the very basics of our salvation and what it means to know Christ, and how is it that it relates to us as the church today. But as Paul speaks here, beginning in the first verse of chapter 3 of Romans, he says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance?" He says, "I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then," in verse 9, "are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that we, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." As Paul is writing here, key things for us to consider this morning, and as he speaks specifically, Jew versus Gentile. And a lot of times we don't have conversation in the life of the church about Jews versus Gentiles. We recognize today, if we determine from the Word of God, that if you are not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. We all fall into that category this morning. If you're not a Jew, then we fall into the category of a Gentile. And Paul dismisses this thought in the life of the church, even in times as we see it here written for us, as well as in the life of the church today, that God makes any distinction there, but with a few things. Paul mentions specifically in the verse that we just read that the biggest distinction we see for the Jews is that there were some things given to them, right? The message of Jesus Christ. There was something given to the Jews prior to it being given to the Gentiles. That's the key distinction that we understand today. They have something of hope and promise that the Gentiles did not have at that point. But we have it today, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God that we have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is a big distinction for the Jews today. They had the message. Now the same is true when we recognize today that the Jews, some Jews still do not believe in Jesus Christ. And obviously true today that there are people in our world that are Gentiles today that still don't believe in Jesus, right? There are people today, maybe even in this room, that still do not know that Jesus is the Lord of their life. They still do not know what it means to have relationship with Jesus Christ. But Paul brings a challenge to our hearts to consider some of these things. He says, when he talks about what is their profit, and that's when he mentions the term circumcision, there is more broadly speaking of their condition in their heart, in their life. And the condition of the church today. We recognize what does it really mean in our lives today to be in right relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Much every way, he says, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. He'd given them the truth of Jesus Christ. He's given them promise. And if you read your Bible and we study, there are still promises to be fulfilled for the Jews today. There are things that are still to come for them and their life and their relationship with the Lord, but it does not bring a distinction that we like to put upon them and us and the Jews and the Gentiles today. We recognize that there is importance in knowing Jesus Christ. He says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The same is true today, right? Just because there are people in our world today that do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, do not believe in God of the universe that He is, that He created all that we are, because we recognize today there are people in the world that do not believe in God, right? You agree with me? You understand that? There are people today that don't believe in God. There are people today that do not believe in Jesus Christ as the one and only Son. There are people today in this world that we live in that have yet to understand what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Thus, the reason for the church and its existence still today. If you didn't know it this morning, this is what God has called us to do and to be in the life of the church in Solid Rock Baptist Church in Fowler, Colorado. To be a light and a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father that sent Him to this earth to die for each and every person in this world. Amen. We're going to see people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and come to a right relationship with the Lord. It has nothing to do with you and I, but it has everything to do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It has everything to do with believing that in our heart as the church and sharing those things. And because some do not believe in that, does not mean that God is not true.
That's right.
It does not mean that the Word of God is not true. Because some choose today to willingly live in disobedience to Jesus Christ and to knowing Him as their Lord and Savior does not mean that He is not still Lord of our life. Does not mean that He is not Lord of this universe. And it's important for us as a church to know that today and understand certain things are just true. That's the way it is. And whether the world wants to acknowledge God as God or not, whether the world we live in today wants to recognize His Son as the only true saving relationship that we can have, want to recognize Him as the Savior of this world or not, He is still the Savior of this world.
That's right.
That's something we ought to celebrate today. We know that no matter what anybody else might say, that is truly, as Scripture defines it for us, the only way to heaven. The only way to know Jesus Christ and to know salvation from our sin, to know true repentance of our sin. And although some may say it is not important, that is the truth. Does it make faith of God without effect? He says in verse 4, what? Simply, God forbid. Paul says it does not. Let God be true. But every man a liar. Think about that. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? We know today very truthfully in our life today we live in a world of unrighteousness, right? We live in a world of sin. We were born into this world of sin. Every one of us, our human nature, the Bible tells us that we were born into this sin and into this world. Today, physically, we were born into that nature. It's what we do beyond that that matters today. It's what it does in our life this morning, what matters most. He says, and our unrighteousness does not change the righteousness of God. Praise God.
Amen.
That nothing I can do changes who God is. Although in our normal thoughts and our process today, we would love to change God, wouldn't we? If you really think about it today, isn't that the way we react sometimes? If we could just line God up with what we want to do, life would be perfect. If we could line up Jesus Christ and our plans and our purpose with His life and we could make Him do what we want Him to do, if you could tell God what to do and He would do it, man, wouldn't that be great? For about half a second. And then we'd realize we don't have a clue, right? We don't have any knowledge of what is right and what is best. And in your heart and your life this morning, I want you to understand, we don't know. We don't have a clue what's best for ourselves. God has a plan. God has a purpose and a design for this universe. And we have to, as a church, come to a place of recognizing that no matter how much I would want to change what God is doing in my life or in your life or any other situation today, that His plan is perfect. And His plan is holy. And His design is written for us in the Word of God. And thankfully, my unrighteousness doesn't change that. My desire and my flesh doesn't change the will of God. That's what makes it the will of God. It's also very important for us to understand this morning. If we, this is the key challenge for Christians this morning in the life of the church to understand. We pray oftentimes for God's will in our life, right? Everybody, would everybody admit you've probably prayed for God's will in your life at some point or another? Are you willing to accept it when you pray for it? Are you really willing to determine what is God's will in our life today? The Bible's pretty plain about the will of God. The will of God is that none should perish. That's plain and simple. That is the will of God. That every person in this universe would know that there's a God that loves them and that He loves them by sending Jesus Christ to this earth so that they could have everlasting life in Him. That is the will of God. What we tend to do in our lives as human beings and in the life of the church today, even as good, faithful Christians that we are, try to turn the will of God into something that fits my life. The will of God is simple. God's plan for fulfilling His will is different for each and every one of us. Yep. That's the plan. That's the purpose of our life this morning. Recognize this morning in the life of the church, God's will is plain, cut and dry, simple. We don't have to know anything more than that. His will is for every person in this world to come to saving relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Plain and simple. How we get there, how we approach those things, how we get there personally, and how our friends and our neighbors and our family and our strangers on the street and everybody all over this world get to knowing the will of God and accepting it in their life is God's plan for their life. And we recognize today that the will of God is that none should perish, but sometimes that's not the plan in other people's life. That's exactly what Paul mentions in this verse here. If they choose to deny the things of God, does that change God? Does it change the will of God? Not in any way. If we as Christians today want to be in the will of God in our life, we have to understand Jesus Christ, have to understand relationship with Him, and then know that His plan is more important for me than anything else in my life.
Right.
And the plan that God has for your life is more important than anything you or I could imagine. Anything that we could dream up in our life today. You have plans. Every one of us have plans, desires in our life. You want to be in a certain place in your life. You want to have a good certain status. You want to be financially secure. You want your family to grow up in certain ways. You want things to happen. And if you just existed for a few seconds on this earth, you find out that your plan doesn't always work out, right? Just because you want those things to be doesn't mean that they're going to be. The great place and opportunity for the church this morning is to get in the will of God and allow His plan to be the plan for our life. Allow His purpose to be that revealed in our life. What does that mean? It means maybe that I am going in a direction today that God didn't really want me to go in. And I'm okay with changing direction in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but most people are not going to sign up for that. Anybody want to sign up today? Completely decide today that maybe the direction you're heading in your life right now is not where God wants you to be. And if you knew that today, would you do something about it? If you knew today that what you've been doing maybe for years on end in your life, day after day after day, is not really what God intended for you to do? And if you took the time to determine that and God revealed it to you, would you make a step in a different direction today? For most Christians today in our world, this is not the normal process. Normal process is, God, this is what I want to do. I'll figure out how to put you in the middle of it if I can. If not, I'm going to get this done and that done, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And when I get to the end of my life, I'm going to say, well, I tried my best, right? I wonder this morning in the life of the church, are we really giving our best to God? Are we really giving Him everything? And if we're not, does it even matter? Does it matter to you? Paul brings a challenge in these verses that we would consider some of these things. If our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, he says, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world, right? If God can fall into unrighteousness and can alter His plans and His purposes into the things of man, then how can He be the judge, right? Paul makes a very distinct key thing for the church today to understand. God is righteous and His judgment is righteous.
Amen.
We don't understand that today because we don't live in a world of righteousness. We don't live in a world where judges judge according to the Word of God. They don't judge according to righteousness. They judge according to what everybody else says is comfortable. A lot of times judges in our society today judge according to their own opinion. This looks good. This is what I'd like to see happen. So we're going to judge things in that way. God doesn't operate that way. God operates according to righteousness and faithfulness and obedience to the things that we see in the Word of God. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? What He says. Think about those things. Are we a sinner? Do we recognize our place before the Lord? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say. He says, let us do evil that good may come. Just think about how absurd that really sounds, right? Let us do evil and hopefully the good will come out of it. Sounds good, right? Sound like the world we live in today? If we just keep doing these things, something's going to change, right? We keep allowing all of this evil in our life. I don't know about you, but it's not hard to look around the world and see the more we accept the sin of this world and the fault that is in our world, and we allow people to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, the worse the world gets. Every time you get into conversation with people, you hear these things. People will tell you, if you'll get serious about conversation, man, what happened to the world? What's going on? I had somebody just the other day ask me that. Man, I don't know what's happened in this world, but man, we're just going downhill, hurry. Read the Bible, right? When we get to a place in our world where we try to condone every kind of sin that's imaginable and say that it's okay because God will forgive us of it, we're wrong. God's called us as a church to live above that sin, to live in a desire and a hunger for righteousness and obedience to Christ. And if we begin that in our own individual lives, and we begin it in our families, and we begin it in our churches, and we live righteously before God, we would change things in our life today. We would see change in our own homes, we'd see change in our churches, we'd see change in our communities, and it'd be an opportunity for God to work. But we try to put God into this box and say that, well, there's this little unrighteousness and we can kind of tweak this and tweak that and make it fit here, make it fit there. You didn't realize that there's plenty of cities in the Scriptures that did the exact same thing and God destroyed them because of it. You don't realize today that this world is coming to a place of destruction. God's called the church for something more. For righteousness and obedience. What then? Are we better than they? Look what he says. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all, what? Under sin. It's a big distinction for us today to decide not only Jew-Gentile situation, but every person in this world today. Whether we want to admit it or not this morning in the life of the church, every person in this world is a sinner. Whether you want to look in the mirror and recognize your own sin or not is between you and God. We don't have an opportunity. I want you to know this morning, in the life of the church, if you'll study your Bible, you'll pray, you'll search out the will of God for your life, God will reveal sin in your life. You can confess that sin and you can move forward.
Amen.
But the pattern in most Christian lives today is to recognize our sin. And when we recognize our sin, we say, I don't want to acknowledge that. So we put the Bible down. We stop coming to church. We stop being obedient to God. We stop searching out. We stop breaking relationships with people that follow Jesus Christ because it's uncomfortable. And life now is just me being a Christian, hanging out on the outside, hoping that heaven will accept me when I get there, right? Well, that's not the Christian life at all. That's not what I do. Stop and think about your life today. Think about the life of most Christians. In the condition of the world, we recognize that we're all sinners. And my sin is no different than any other person's sin. It is sin, it is unrighteousness, and it has to be dealt with. Jesus dealt with our sin at the cross.
Amen.
And as the church today, we ought to accept what Jesus did for us at the cross. If you truly say this morning you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then believe that. Stand on that. Live on that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ and know that the sin that you've dealt with in the past and the sin that's going to be a part of your life in the future has already been forgiven, and start living in a life that is obedient to Jesus Christ. Start living in obedience to the direction that He's given to us and recognize that we're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. One of the biggest struggles in church life today is the self-righteousness that comes out of the church. You don't believe me? Talk to people that are outside of the church. That's the first thing they say, right? Them hypocritical Christians. I don't want to go over there. I don't want to be a part of what they do. They say one thing and they do another thing, right? And if you really get to a serious evaluation in the condition of our heart today, we would step back and take a look at our life today, probably every one of us could honestly say, yeah, I've been pretty hypocritical. Because what they've seen in my life in the last 7 days did not represent the Jesus I say lives in me every day. That's an important position for us to be in today. Recognize our place before God and understand that if that's what the world sees, it's obvious. They're going to look at those things, right? What do they see? They see the walk in my life. They don't necessarily listen to the things that are coming out of my mouth. They see, how do I walk, right? What does my life really look like? Because we all know we can say a lot of things, right? And we do. We say a lot of things. Things come out of our mouth most of the time, my mouth specifically, before I even think about it sometimes, right? Things just naturally come rolling out of my mouth. And then I find myself in a situation where I got to apologize. I got to find myself in a situation where I look like the goofball that now has to go and say, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry. I messed up. That's hard to be in that place, right? You been there lately? Maybe not. Maybe you haven't wanted to admit you were wrong, right? That's a humbling place. It's a hard place to be. And most of the time in my life, when I recognize my sin and my struggle and I got to go ask somebody to forgive me, it's one of those things. I'm just like the little kid. My head is hung down. I'm looking at the ground. I don't want to look them in the eyes. I don't want them to say anything. I don't really want them to confront me about that. I just want to say, hey, I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? And most of the time, I don't want to hang around and see if they do because I'm afraid they may say no. And then what? Right? But God called us to forgiveness. God called us to recognize what Jesus did for us at the cross. He forgave that sin. And as a church, we've got to learn to live in that and live in obedience to Christ so we can be an example. Yeah. To walk the walk that God has called us to walk. We do that through obediently doing what God has asked us to do. He said, there's none that is righteous. So when those thoughts of pride and arrogance come into my mind, that's an opportunity for me to allow the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? You're not what you think. Right? That's not to demean who I am and what God has created me in, but to recognize who Jesus is in me. Recognize my relationship with the Lord. I'm not calling you to stand in front of the mirror and attack yourself. I'm calling you to listen to Jesus Christ. Allow Him to be the Holy Spirit that works in your life. And just simply accept that we're going to sin. We're going to fail. But God has already forgiven it. Jesus did that at the cross for us. And if you're willing to accept that forgiveness and allow Him to be the Lord of your life, then meaning that He's the Lord of your life means something totally different, right? Mm-hmm. Means that He's the boss. Who's the boss, right? You ever think about that? Who's really in charge in your life? 9 times out of 10, it's me. I don't really want to allow the Lord to be the boss in my life. That might mean I have to change things. Mean I have to do something different. I have to allow God to do something different in my life. And if He truly is the Lord of my life, then I don't have to worry about anything, right? If I know that I'm living in the will of God, then I know wherever I go, whatever I say, whatever I do, the steps that I make, the decisions I make in my life and in my family's life and in the life of this church and wherever else we might go and whatever we might do, we know that it's the will of God. If we take steps of obedience in those things, then God's going to lead us to places we've never been before. I believe wholeheartedly as a church, if you're willing to make steps of obedience to do what God's called us to do, we're going to see God work. If you haven't recognized it today, God is working in this place.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is moving in this church, in this body of believers, and He is leading us in some things. And I have no idea where it's going. I don't know. Hope you didn't plan on me having the answers, because I don't. I know God's called us to do something. The only thing I know to do is take a step and do what He said.
Amen.
And I need you to help me do that. And we need each other to help each other do those things. Take steps of obedience and do what God's called us to do. I don't know what God wants for Solid Rock. I don't. Can't imagine it. But I know that God's given us vision and He's given us direction. And He's given us a call to do something. And if as a church we're willing to represent that and understand in my life that I'm a sinner and I'm going to fail, but God's still God and He still loves me and He's still going to guide in my life. If you get that in your mind and your heart this morning, then it's going to change things in your life today. I don't know where you are this morning. Only God knows where you are. In your life, you may be going through some things today that nobody else knows about and you don't want to tell anybody else about. Guess what? You can tell God.
Amen.
And He wants to be there with you. And He wants you to be a part of somebody in a body of believers that'll do that. They'll continue to encourage you in those things. We recognize our condition before God. We can move forward. As it is written, he says, there is none that are righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. What does Paul say? The genuine natural desire in our life is not to seek the things of God. We've already determined that, right? My whole plan and purpose in my life is to do what I want to do. When we're young and when we're old, we still do what we want to do. For our young people today, you're looking, you're thinking about life. What's next? What do you got going on? What are your plans? That's one of my favorite things to think about. People always ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know when I'm going to grow up. I don't know what I want to be. But I know what the Bible says, that we should want to be whatever God wants us to be. Amen. And that might involve something that you're not even thinking about today. Maybe it means those things that kids say. I don't know how many kids I've been around that have told me when they grow up they want to be a fireman, they want to be a policeman, they want to do these things, they want to do... You know, I always wonder, I always thought about that. Those are some of the hardest jobs. The most thankless jobs. And our kids want to be that. I'm thinking, what is it about? For me, I like being a fireman. Lights, sirens, go fast, do things. It's fun. Do a lot of different things. Something I enjoy doing. But honestly, that's not the most glamorous job. It's not the most exciting thing when you get to it. And if you spend a few time with some responders that have dealt with some of the stuff that goes on, you'll find out it's one of the toughest things you could ever do in your life. And if a two-year-old kid sat in the room that I sat in on Friday night with some guys that lost a little baby in the middle of all that, they'd say, man, I don't want to do that. Who wants to sign up for that? But if that's what God's called us to do, then we should do it. And be excited about it. Well, the ultimate picture in our life today is to understand what kids dream about being is great. It's not a bad thing to have a vision and a goal. But have a vision and a goal to be that because that's where God wants you to be. Not because it gets you the biggest paycheck or the biggest pat on the back or a recognition of who you are. But some of the best positions I've seen people in is in a hut in the middle of nowhere telling people about Jesus Christ in a dirt floor and getting to hear about the fact that people in a different country are getting saved. We heard testimony Wednesday night of 100 people that got saved in the Dominican Republic in the last 2 weeks.
That's right.
100 people got saved and immediately got baptized in the last 2 weeks. When's the last time we've seen one person come to know Jesus Christ and get baptized? What are we living for? What is our purpose and our goal? Paul helps us to recognize that we're all sinners and we all have the same thing. We have the same problem. And God's taking care of that problem for every one of us. I don't know what God's called you to do. We need everybody in all of your positions and all of your jobs, and kids need to have dreams. They want to have goals to do that. You read some further statistics, most of the time, I can't even imagine, I haven't searched it out in the last couple of years, but I can't remember how many people get to that college level and decide what they thought they wanted to do is not what they want to do. They spent 4 years of their life getting a degree in something they don't even want to do anymore. Right? Real quick indication, what does that tell you? It's not what God had planned for them. Looked good, sounded good, sounded like a good plan. And most of the time, what's it involve? There's a paycheck at the end that says, if I'm this, I can get this. If I'm this, I can get that. Man, if I'm a child of God and I'm obedient to Jesus Christ, I can get everlasting life and I can see others do the same. Amen. What if all of our young people today in our schools were being taught, search out what God wants for you and do what God's called you to do wherever you go?
Amen.
Recognize today the multi-million-dollar sports figures that are being paid to play. Exactly what they're doing, right? Being paid to play. Partway down their life, they're so broken and bruised up and beaten up, they can't do anything. They're sitting at home with their big fat paycheck and their mansions wondering, man, why did I do all that? What are we working for? For a pat on the back? A sign with our name on it? Whatever it is? You know, the best place for your name to be written is not on the back of a jersey, but in the book of life in heaven.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Because that one's going to last forever.
That's right.
Nothing else matters. Paul brings a challenge to the church today. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Look what he says, their throat is an open sepulcher, that's a tomb. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Look what he says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Sound like the world today? There's no fear of God. There's no reverence of who God is and what he's doing in our life. There's no recognition that God is bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. You think about these things today and where are you going in your life? God is bigger than anything that you can think of today. We cannot describe a God that did what he did in creating this universe and every one of us. Can't describe those things. I find it interesting how continually we're finding this research about our bodies, right? We don't have a clue how God created us. All we know is there's a lot of stuff goes on in there, and if it doesn't work exactly right, something goes wrong, we got to fix it, right? One thing goes wrong in the body that God created and something happens. One thing goes wrong in the body of Christ, that's sin, it creates a problem. It's no different, right? Something goes wrong physically in your body, what do? You find out. If you know what it is, you can fix it, you try to fix it, right? You don't know what it is, you go down there, you schedule a doctor appointment, you walk in there and say, hey, something's gone wrong, I don't know what it is, you should know, tell me. Right? You recognize today God's given us everything to fix all the problems in our life right here? We just read it and understand it? And we get to a place in the life of the church, something went wrong. Life is just not what it should be today. Right? I'm just not walking the way I should walk. What do we do about it? Go to the one who knows how to fix it. Go to the direction he's given to us. And know what his word says. And it's the same thing is true for the doctor, right? You go to the doctor and tell him something's wrong. He tells you how to fix it. You say, I don't want to do that. Well, dummy, you're still going to have the same problem then, right? Wake up. As the church, God's given us answers. If we don't do what God tells us to do, we might as well get with the program and understand that we're just going to have to live with it, right? You got a broken leg. The solution for fixing that leg is putting the bone back where it belongs. You don't want to do that. You're going to walk around with a broken leg. Probably not going to have a good life, right? Things are not going to work the way they ought to. Right? We don't fix it. We know what the problem is. The problem in the church today is sin. If we don't do something about your sin, life is not going to be what you're supposed to be. Your relationship with the Lord cannot be what it is supposed to be today if you've still got sin in your life. If you're not willing to commit to Jesus Christ. You're not willing to take care of those things in your life. Your family life, your relationships with your husband, your wife, your children, your extended family, your church family, your co-workers, the strangers on the street, the community you live in cannot be right if you're not right with Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord's given us a pattern in Scripture. We get saved first. We accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Once we've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we recognize we still sin. We confess our sin, take the forgiveness that God gives to us, and we move on. We become repentant of that sin, is what the Bible says. We don't do it again, right? We make a change in our life. There's no fear of God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What does he say? Think about the law. Again, this is an important reference that Paul makes to the Jews because the Jews were relying on the law. Right? They've been in a condition in their life where they relied on the law to tell them everything they did and they lived life to the law. This morning, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to challenge your heart this morning to consider. You cannot live good enough today. You hear me? Good things don't get it. Being a good person, doing good things, trying to help people, that doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Taking a list of things in your mind and your heart and reading through the Scriptures and determining God said this, God said that, and taking a checklist in your mental checklist and writing it off and saying, yep, I did that, yep, I did that, yep, I did that. You stand before the throne of Jesus Christ, you understand whether or not you have a relationship with Him or not. The Bible's pretty plain about it. If you got saved, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, one day you're going to give an account of your life. What have we done as Christians? You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. The Bible tells us something more important beyond that is that we understand today that you're destined to hell. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. There's no option. No matter how good you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, no matter your position, your status, or anything else, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you're going to hell. When your life is done on this earth, that's the end of it. That's a warning that the world needs to hear. That's a fear of God. Amen. Recognizing no matter how much the world says they can accomplish, they have nothing without Jesus Christ. They have nothing without relationship with our Lord. That every mouth may be stopped, he says. The world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's what he says, right? No matter how well you keep the law, no matter how well you try to line out these things in your life and try to hold to them, there are things in our life, every one of us, that we do because we feel it's important. And there are certain things in your life that you just do on a regular basis, every single day. You do it because it's something you want to do, something you feel good about. I don't know. A good example is exercise. Some of you probably do that every day. Some of us are okay at it. Some of us don't really want to even think about doing it. Right? Well, you make a decision that says, well, I'm going to exercise, right? You know, there's some benefits that come with exercise. You feel a little bit better. Your body feels better. Your body functions better. You eat a little bit better. Life becomes a little better for you. For those of us that could care less about that, well, then we see the results of that too, right? There's some benefits to doing what God has called us to do. We get to live the life that we're supposed to live. And life for us is exactly what God intended it to be. We think about all of these things, but now the righteousness of God in verse 21 without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Look what he says. Righteousness of God, which is what? By faith, you see it? Of Jesus Christ. The only way we're righteous is because of Jesus Christ, by faith and believing in who Jesus is. Amen. Plain and simple. Nothing else. All them that believe. For verse 23, you guys have been waiting for me to get to that verse. That's the one everybody knows, right? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most important message we could share with the world that we live in today. We're all sinners and we all fall short of what God has lined out for us. But he's given us a promise, right? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Look, that is in Christ Jesus. We're redeemed. Our sin is taken care of because of Jesus Christ. That's the message our world needs to hear today. It's the message of the church. Life and commitment before Jesus Christ this morning. The most important thing we could ever do. Allow the Lord to be truly the Lord of your life today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your truth. And Lord, I pray this morning in our hearts and our minds as we've read your word together, Lord, that we're challenged this morning to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, that we would truly allow you to be the Lord of our life. Lord, that we set aside all of our plans, all of our purposes, all of our designs that we've come up with in our life and just simply be the children of God you've called us to be. Lord, only you know every heart and every life in this room this morning. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They don't know what it means to accept you and that free gift of salvation. They've never truly asked you to be the Lord of their life. They've never confessed their sin. They've never believed in their heart that Jesus is the only solution for our sin problem. Lord, I pray that in this invitation, they just get up out of their chair, they come down this aisle, and we could pray with them that they might know what it means to accept you as their Savior today. Lord, that we might have hope of everlasting life. Lord, for those of us that can say today that we've done that, Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts to be obedient to you in whatever else you might be leading us to do today. Lord, maybe there are steps of obedience we need to take. Lord, maybe we need to follow you in believer's baptism. Maybe we need to follow you in becoming a part of this church. Lord, putting our name on the rolls permanently that we might be a part of the ministry that you've called us to do and be here in Fowler. Lord, maybe there's sins that just need to be confessed. We need to get on our hands and knees before you. And Lord, stop focusing on others and the sin of the world around us and focus on ourselves and our relationship with you. Lord, whatever your will is in this time of invitation, Lord, I pray as a church that you would help us to be obedient today. And Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. Page number 300, if you're using the hymnal.
How am I sure?
Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and your truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us from this place this morning. Lord, we be reminded of your presence in our lives. Lord, that we would search diligently for your will and direction in this world. Lord, that your plan would be revealed in our lives individually. We might just be obedient to you this week, Lord, as we go out into the world, that there would be a light shining from us. Lord, that it would be so obvious that we know you. Lord, that others would be drawn to you because of it. Lord, we just thank you. We ask these things in your name.